You know, whether there's one or 100, God can still talk to us. No matter what the situation and where we are. It would be lovely to have the church full. But the fact that there's only a few of us doesn't mean to say that God can't speak just as vibrantly to each one of us. I want to take you back just to the start of the year. Do you remember that far back? I don't know whether you've done it this year, but any year, have you ever made any New Year's resolutions? You know, when you set out a new year, a new page, this year I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do that. And you start the year full of good intent. I just wondered if you have made these sort of New Year's resolutions, how long they lasted. You might have had some that you've managed to maintain all year. But often it's not long before all the efforts become sidetracked with things that happen in the year, that we forget about what we said to ourselves at the beginning. And often we've made some what I call fleshly decisions that have produced efforts that were inadequate. I know when Jesus talked to the disciples and they were in the midst of difficulty, and he said to them, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we often go into situations with the same mentality sometimes that we have when we make New Year's resolutions. And you may well have quoted, or I've quoted you at different times, that from James chapter 4 verse 7, it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, it does sound very good, that, but it misses an anchor statement. And we're going to look a little bit about the anchor statement. If you've got your Bible, if you turn to James chapter 4 verse 7, that verse consists of a statement as well as resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That starts with submit therefore to God. Now, when you sort of think about it, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, it really does sound a good statement. But that will only work if there's some power behind it. And the power behind it is our submission to God. The whole realm of being able to resist the devil revolves around us submitting to God. Because one of the things that happens when we submit to God is that we shut the devil out. Our mere submission to God shuts the devil out. Now, if you take the situations that we go through day by day, there's none of us goes through life, perhaps even a day sometimes, without making a mistake of something, somewhere along the line. I call it a mistake, it could well be sin. Sometimes we make genuine mistakes, but they're the things that we're doing wrong. And the Bible tells us that we're born in sin. It's in our human nature to sin. We are self-centered people. That is our fleshly nature. So, often, submission can be a difficult thing to us. You see, often in some of the young people in this present day, where submission to authority is hard for them to do. We get it like on the youth night. Ian knows particularly well that some of the youngsters that come on a Monday find it very, very difficult to submit to authority. And rebellion is right. And it's not just the young people that are motivated by rebellion. I remember when I was a child, I suppose the grown-ups thought it was a bit of a joke, but in those days you'd have policemen on foot walking around in uniform with a big, you know, a big helmet they used to have, and makes them look taller. And they'd say, "There's a policeman coming, he's coming along the street," so you'd dive under the table. You hadn't done anything wrong, but it was the culture that if they saw you doing something wrong, you were in trouble. And it was sort of inbred into us to some extent. And you sort of look back at it and smile at it. But the question of submission is so vital to anybody coming to know God. Now, it's often stressed that if you're going to overcome something, first of all, you've got to admit there's a problem in the first place. If you don't admit there's a problem, then you're lost to start with. But you have to start submitting to some authority in your life to deal with whatever's cropping up in your life. So we can submit to God. We can get hold of God in our lives by submission. And as soon as we submit, things are shut out from us, because God is, I suppose, he gives us tunnel vision when we submit to him, because the things that rattle us are suddenly outside. We're on the inside with God. But to come on the inside with God, we have to, it's not just knowing God, it's submitting to him. Who he is, what he stands for. So, when you've got something that's coming into your mind, coming into your life, some habit, desire, or whatever it is, the only way that we can resist the devil is we start by submitting to God. Yeah. The more it becomes a lifestyle, the submission to God, because we will all have thoughts that come into our minds, and sometimes, where did that come from? Or we're in a situation and we think, "I didn't ought to be here," or what? And we sort of trying to think it through in our own minds. But as soon as we turn and say, "I submit to you, Lord," you've shut it out. You've closed it out. That then gives you the power to deal with it. Gives me the power to deal with it. Then I can say, "I resist you. I will resist you." Because one of the things by our submission to God is that because the devil can't stand, the devil will run anyway. The devil can't stand in the presence of God. And if we're submitted to God, then we have the shield around us that will carry us through the situations. Sometimes we're in situations that are completely beyond ourselves. And maybe they're few and far between. But when it comes, we've got to know that we're submitted to God. And the devil has to know that we're submitted to God. There's some things I wrote down. I just found a sheet of paper. A bit of a sequence when it comes to coming to God. First of all, these are all easy to remember, starting with the same. Well, you'll see when I start. First of all, we have conviction. We have to be convicted of our sin. We have to be conscious that something is not right. Once we've got that conviction that there's something not right, we have to confess it. We have to confess that that's right, but the one that we've got to confess it to is God. We've got to be connected with something or someone higher than us. Now, the world will tell you that when you are in trouble, it's up to you to get yourself out of trouble. Well, I don't strictly agree with that. I think if I come to God, God is my source in everything. All my thought life should be centered around God, whether I'm working, playing, or whatever I'm doing. Everything that motivates me should be centered around Him in some way. So as soon as I get into a situation that I feel is wrong, or I feel is uncomfortable, or I feel I'm going in the wrong direction, I've got to know in my heart and mind that I need to come to God. I need to come to Him, because there's no other help outside of me. You will have thoughts and things in your life that no other person knows about, and you have to deal with them. I don't know how you've dealt with them in the past, but that verse in James 4 verse 7 sets the path clear. The first thing to do is submit to God, and that's submitting your life to God. We can come in particular circumstances as well when our attention is called for something, but initially our first base in coming to God is to submit to Him. First of all, we admit that we're not good enough in ourselves to sort things out in our lives or anybody else's life. We're not good enough to resolve things in our own life. We need Jesus. We need God in our life just to come to for His correctness, His direction, His security, His peace, and His safety. Because outside of Him, we're a sitting target for the devil. But when we're in God, when we're surrounded by Him, we're enclosed by Him, held by Him, then we can't move anywhere else than within God. So whatever decisions we then make, when we've submitted to God, are actually God's decisions. When we've got our own intellect playing and our own fleshly feelings playing, we'll make the wrong decisions. But God has said, make the right decision. Submit to God. We need to admit that we're powerless over sin ourselves. We're powerless. But we've got to recognise that. And we've got to recognise the source that we go to receive that direction, that power, that security. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, you'll find that verse in James is actually explained more fully. Peter chapter 5 verse 6, it says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time." What's the proper time? It's not specific telling us what the proper time is. Well, I'll say that one of the proper times is when sin beckons. When sin beckons, we need to be humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. so that when sin beckons, it has no entrance. It has no way in. And it tells us in verse 7 to cast all our anxiety upon him. You know, one of the things that comes with sin is fear, depression, judgment, all sorts of dark things come with sin. But when we cast our anxiety upon God, upon him, it says all our anxiety will bring us into peace. It tells us to be sober spirit, but it says be on the alert. Be on the alert. It says your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion. Pretends to be a roaring lion. He can't be a roaring lion if we're submitted to God. He cannot be a roaring lion to us when God is our anchor, our strength, our shield. It says in verse 9, it says, but resist him, firm in your faith. Be firmly submitted to God the Father, knowing that the same experience of suffering being accomplished by your brethren. Everybody's going through the same mill. You're not unique in being a target of the devil. We are all targets of the devil. But God has shown us how to resist the devil. And it says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. There's a consequence of submitting to God. The consequence is that Christ will bring you to perfection. He'll confirm and strengthen you, and he'll establish you. There's a consequence. There is a consequence as well when we're sucked in by sin. There's a consequence there as well. But God's consequence is by far the one to look for. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27, it warns us for not to give the devil an opportunity. Let me just turn Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 27. Now it's funny because the last week Brother Andrew talked about be angry and do not sin. That's in verse 26. You can be angry without sinning. It says do not let the sun go down on your anger. But it says and do not give the devil an opportunity. If you're submitted to God, the devil hasn't got an opportunity. If you move across to chapter 6, it talks about us putting on the full armour of God. So we can stand firm, in verse 11, so we can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And it points out in verse 12 that the devil's crafty. And he tells us that we can't see the enemy, can't see him and touch him, but he's there. It tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. If you want a reason to submit to God, read that and digest it. Because that's where the warfare is taking place. And you can't see it with your eyes. You can't smell it. You can't touch it. But it's there. So if you want to be safe amongst that environment, you need to be under the covering of God. And you'll only get the covering of God by submitting to him. So God tells us to resist the devil, and often we quote this. We'll quote it to others that are struggling, and we see when we dealing with people in Teen Challenge. Often we'll see people coming with a drug problem or a drink problem, and they'll tell us, I've stopped, not had anything for 7 days, 28 days, a month or whatever. I've stopped, that's it. Oh, very good, very good. And but you see them 2 or 3 months later, and they're still in the same boat. But you stop. Well, I'm not taking as much as I was, you know. So, you've got this, but you see, in a way they're resisting the devil, but it's from a fleshly source. They're using their own, you know, we'll say, I'm stopping, that's it. I've done, I'm stopping. And then a bit later on, the mood changes, the psychology changes a bit, and they haven't got the same resistance. In a word, they haven't got the ability in themselves to resist and to stop what they know they should stop. That's why God wants us to submit to Him, because He loves us. He loves us and He cares for us. And He wants us to live our lives to the full, but in the right way. You see, so often when people go off the rails and their lives take a nosedive, they are not happy people. They're not happy people. These that perhaps the things in secret that nobody knows about. And I mean, we're getting it now that in this generation they're finding out about what happened in past generations. Some of the people that are surfacing with it, like the child abuse and things like that, it's coming to light like way, way after the things have happened. But they as individuals have had to live with that on their conscience all their lives. So you don't know how they have lived. The chances are they would not have been at peace. But one of the wonderful gifts that God gives us is His peace. See, it's, I suppose in a sense it's about power. You can live on your own battery power for so long in some ways. But the real power that generates life only comes from God. So no matter how much you charge your battery, humanly speaking, you'll not have the same power that God gives. You'll run out of the right sort of power to keep on the good side, if you like. And but Jesus says, I have come to give you life. He's come to give us something. Just going back to what I was on earlier, when you start with conviction and then you confess where you're at, then if you find Jesus, you're converted. You believe, you're converted. And you get confirmation that you're converted, because God comes into your life and you're established in Him. There becomes a relationship between you and the Father, which if you start sort of trying to work it out in human understanding, you can't. You've got to come a place and a level where you're beyond yourselves, and you accept by faith that God is in your life. He is here in your life, in your situation, right now, knowing everything that you're going through, in all areas of your life. And if you submit to Him, He'll help you to deal with all areas of your life. Let's just turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 verse 12, it says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust." And then in verse 13 it tells us that we need to present ourselves to God. How do we present ourselves to God? By submitting to Him. And it says in verse 14, I already mentioned it, "For sin shall not be master over you." Sin shall not be master over you, because you're not under law, you're under God's grace. And you're under God's grace because you've submitted to Him. And it says in verse 16, this is the warning, "You are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin or of obedience." Our human nature, by just what it is, will take us into sin. And remember, sin is sin. You know, we have this black sins and grey sins and all sorts. Sin is sin. And it's there, no matter what. And God's bringing us through by His grace into His light. But He doesn't do it from a distance. He does it by being in us, by working through us, by working for us. So how do we stay submitted to God? Because it's got to be a daily walk. Because the things that are coming at us in life come from all directions at all times of day. It can be in the middle of the night. It can be things that happen during the day in the work, in our leisure, or whatever, in our family even. Things that happen that just try and grab us. Well, first of all, we've got to admit where we're at. Jesus doesn't want us to be hiding anything from Him. And we've got to continually be aware. We've got to continually update where we are, because things can sneak into our lives without us realizing. We have to have this conscious, continual contact with God. You know, it talks about praying at all times. Well, we know that you can't physically pray at all times, because although we can multitask, we've got to concentrate on things that we're doing at times. And we can't always consciously be praying. But we can be aware of God's surroundings in the situations, in the circumstances. When you're at work, when you're at sleep in bed, when you're relaxing, when you're out doing activities. God's not going to take a day off. There's the joke at one time that, you know, if you drove over 70 miles an hour, God got out of the car. Well, He doesn't. He doesn't. God doesn't get out of the vehicle when we sin. But if we let Him, He'll tell us. He'll tell us where we're wrong. He'll tell us how to be right. He'll tell us what we need to do to get back on the road that He wants us to be on. So if we are walking hand in hand with God, we're not going to take any paths that are going to take us into wrong places and wrong directions. There may be times in your life, in my life, when we've let go of God's hand. and we've gone our own way. Does that mean that's it? We've gone, we've lost? No. God loves us. God loves us and cares for us, and he's going to bring us back. However we feel it's impossible, God says, it's impossible. Only believe. He says, you've got to submit to me. Sometimes we talk about we're having to go down the mountain, and we go down the mountain because we haven't learnt the business of submitting to God. We've gone and done our own thing. I know what to do. I know, and before we're out, we're in trouble. And God takes us around the mountain and says, come on, learn that principle. Learn that principle. I'll take you down the mountain as many times as you like, but you've got to learn the principle. And when we learn the principle, God says, right, now we can move on. Now we can move on. Paul was trying to reassure those around in the letter that he wrote to the Romans in chapter 8. He really was showing how impossible it is for the enemy to grab hold of us if we're holding tight to God. Just in Romans chapter 8. Verse 38, well, I read 37 as well. It says, but in all things, or in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you and me from God, except us pushing God away. God doesn't want that. He knows that for us to live, to really live, for us to have peace in our lives and direction, the right direction, we have to come to him and we have to walk with him. But we have to, before anything else, we have to learn to submit to him. You know, when you're taking exams at school, you can learn all there is to know. And Andrew's gone through this. You can go into the exam and your mind's a blank. If you know God, at that point in time you say, I can't do this, but God, you can. Bring to my remembrance all I need to know. And God can transform the situation. But it says we submit to him. I don't know how many times I've said it this afternoon, but you must have got it now. Submit to God. Submit to God. Not to your pastor or your family or whatever else. You first and foremost submit to God. That means to come under his authority. Yield yourself to him. And all the situations that are in your life, he will take you through. And he will weave the path. He knows exactly what path to go. We don't. You can think of all the alternative paths for your life. If you think yourselves back a few years, and you probably wouldn't even dream of where you are now. Now, if you've let go of God's hand, you might have got somewhere you perhaps don't really want to be. But grab hold of God. Grab hold of him again. And let him take you where he wants to take you. It'll be a good road. Not necessarily an easy one, but it certainly will be a good one. And God will take you to a wonderful destination. You know, we don't think too much about death, really. It's something that none of us have had to face personally. We've seen others go through it, but we've not personally dealt with it. So it can be a real, real difficult concept, I suppose. But God's got it all sorted. We might be nervous about it. God's not. He knows that if He's got us, our safety and our future are assured, no matter what. So I encourage you this afternoon, once more, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen.